At the end of the day, what you really need to know is if you are a closer, you are the prize. And most companies flip this on you and say, well, we've got the name, we've got the recognition, we've got the leads. What else you got? You've got the ability to go close a deal, and they don't.
Every single message you deliver is really a sales call. Either you are selling or being sold. Salespeople love to brag about their skills. And the truth is, your success in closing sales depends on your skills, your abilities, and finding the right training. And the great news is, you have come to the right place here at the How to Sell Show with your hosts, Dale Bell and Scott Silvenbell. And be sure to join the party at howtosell.live and download your copy of The 10 Common Mistakes Salespeople Make.
Aloha from Sacramento, California. Today is a good day. Today we are going to talk about if you are a closer, you are the prize. And this is one of those asbestos underwear type conversations. My mom refers to a tough conversation where somebody's butt is going to get scorched as an asbestos underwear conversation. So if you've never heard me say that, I want to give you an idea of where that comes from. So let's get into it and start the fire. 80-20 in sales. So this is the way that it works out. If you have 100 salespeople, 20 of them are going to be good. They're going to do most of the amount of work. And then there's going to be about 15% underneath them that are going to be okay, learning, coming up the ranks. So if you're listening to this episode, you're in this 35%. So you are excluded from me talking about bad salespeople. So you have been pardoned by Scott, okay? So if you're on a sales team and there's 10 people on a team, 3.5 of the people are going to be pretty darn good, and 6.5 are going to be not so good. And, you know, if you're listening in the office, you can look around right now and you're nodding your head. You're like, yep, that guy's not good. Nope. That girl's not good. Nope. That person's banging the boss. Nope. Why? I know why they're here. You know, it's favoritism or whatever the reason is. And, you know, there is a point of this that is going to, it's going to just make you go, you're right. If I'm a closer, I'm the prize. Okay. So most salespeople cause a lot of problems for themselves. Most salespeople cause a lot of problems for the company. And when you think about cost of acquisition, when you think about what it costs to acquire a lead, so if you have a company that pays for leads, if you have a company that pays for ups, whatever way you want to say it, they're acquiring a lead for you to go sell. And if you have 100 leads that are bought or purchased on the marketplace and 50% of them are closed, well, those could be considered good numbers. When you have 100 leads that are bought and 30% of them are closed, those could be considered not so good numbers. So when you have bad salespeople on the team and they run 100 leads and they close 30 of them, they cost more to keep in-house than you who can close at 50%. So let's just say that your industry costs $100 per lead. Well, you are a $2,000 salesperson better just in marketing cost. Just in the cost of getting the lead in, you saved the company $2,000 compared to somebody who's only closing at 30%, okay? And this is where your leverage comes in because this gets multiplied. It's not just the cost of the lead. Now it's cost of company overhead. If you drive to appointments, you've got to go see people. You've got to go visit people. There's gas. There's car. There's wear and tear on that vehicle. There's depreciation on the vehicle. If you're in an office, there's office space being wasted by somebody who can't close deals. And, you know, when salespeople get a talking to from the management and the management comes after the 65% who are not very good or the 6.5 people on the team that are not very good, they usually make the top performers sit in on these meetings and they're usually a complete waste of time. And the way that the management or the executives could, I'm not saying everybody, but they could look at it is they could have a bad opinion of salespeople. And so what ends up happening is there's this tug of war that closers get grouped in with the people who aren't very good. They get grouped in with the B squad and the C squad and the walk-ons and the people who really shouldn't be in the office. And so let's just change the analogy. If this was sports, Like, if this was sports and you were a contract player and you were the top guy on the team or the top girl on the team, you know what? You would get preferential treatment. You would get things different than the rest of the team. You get higher pay. You get different perks. But for whatever reason in the world of sales, they don't want to look at it like this because they're like, you know what? Now we're going to have to manage salespeople. Now we're going to have to take people and we're going to have to deal with them and we're going to have to manage. So now we have to have the management conversation. If the 80-20 rule applies to salespeople, I'm going to promise you the 80-20 rule applies to management. And there's really two ways that management flies. The owners want a good manager because they want a good sales team. That's going to be the 20%. The 80% is most companies don't want a good manager because they don't want the salespeople to get one over on them and have control. So it comes down to like my favorite question when it comes to management. Do you want a man or do you want a mouse? Do you want a man or do you want a mouse? And the 80% of the sales teams out there are managed by mice. They're managed by people who are not very good at sales. And in order for them to keep a job, they transitioned into a management position. And because they don't really know how to close, they don't know how to coach, they don't know how to train, they don't know how to represent a salesperson very well. So they go into a management meeting and the executives, the owners start really hammering down on the salespeople and saying why salespeople are bad and why they're evil and why they're overpaid. And they got the mouse of a manager who won't stand up for the sales team, you know, and he's going to hire or she is going to hire weak salespeople just like them. So you're like, hey, Scott, why is it that almost every company that I go to, it works out like this? 6.5 salespeople are not good. 3.5 are really good out of every 10 that work. It's because most sales managers weren't good at sales, so they don't know what to look for and they don't know what to hire. So game recognize game, right? That's one of my favorite sayings, game recognize game. You know, if you got skills, you could recognize when somebody else has skills. And if you're good at what you do and you look around, you're like, oh, you know, that guy or that girl is pretty good. So you don't may not know this about me, but I've got 3,500 records at home and 3 turntables. And so when I watch people DJ, like there's times where I look at it and I'm like, man, that guy's okay or that girl's okay. And there's times where I watch somebody and I'm like, yep, they got skills. Okay. That's one thing. I've done a ton of video editing and I would say that my video editing skills are okay, but I've done enough video editing to know that when somebody is exceptional, I can look at what they've done and go, this guy or this girl is amazing at what they do. And wow, you know, I'm congratulations. They've done very well for themselves. So just think about something that you're good at besides the world of sales. Pick anything, any hobby that you have, like professional sports players. When you watch them, you can tell like, hey, this person's got skills or they don't. But one of the things that happens is most sales managers can't recognize good salespeople. So they hire themselves. They duplicate themselves. Okay. So what does all this mean for you? Well, if you're a closer, you're the prize for this reason. You cost less for your performance. You cost less for your performance in the cost of overhead and in the cost of lead acquisition. So, you know, I've never understood this. Top performers, in my mind, should make more money. They should, flat out, because they're good at what they do. You should get paid. If you're good at what you do, you should get paid for it. That came from the Joker and Batman, right? So, you know, if you're gonna pull a quote, you might as well pull a good one. And so, you know, this is one of my favorite scenes. And anytime that I see a salesperson struggle, I say, hey, go watch Dark Knight Rises, and go watch the scene where the Joker is standing at the table with all the villains, and he does the magic trick. And they say, you know, if you're so good, why don't you take care of the Batman? And he says, you know, if you're good at what you do, you never do it for free. And so in any other industry, any other organization, top salespeople get paid top money. So if you have a better closing rate, your bonuses should be based upon how well you're closing. And I've never understood talking to business owners. I've never understood talking to managers where they're like, well, we have a standard comp plan where, you know, when sales guys close this much money or close this much in deals, this is what they make. And I'm like, why are you looking at this wrong? This is not a linear math problem. This is an Excel math problem where when somebody closes at a higher percentage, you should definitely be closing or paying them more because you're essentially wasting money on the people who can't close deals. And most companies don't look at it. So here's what I'm going to tell for you. One, you should be able to have the conversation with a business owner or manager and say, hey, look, you know, categorically, when you take a look at what it costs to employ me, it costs you less to employ me than probably two other people combined to make up the difference in my performance. So why wouldn't you pay me more? Why wouldn't you look at this like a business math problem instead of a fair math problem? And you know what it comes down to is most managers don't want to manage, because if they do, they're going to have the tough conversations, like the asbestos type of conversation that we're having right now. So let's say you go to your owner and you're like, look, I'm closing at 60%. The rest of the team is closing at 30. I'm twice as good as them. Why wouldn't you bonus me out? And they'd say, well, because we're the ones that are getting the leads. We're the ones that are bringing the buyers to the party. And what you got to know is that is a guilt trip. And that's sort of a fallacy, because yes, they are getting the leads. And yes, that is an answer, but at the end of the day, it's also the wrong answer. They're looking at it the wrong way. So this is where you have to go into sales mode. This is how where you have to be willing to have the tough conversation that nobody's willing to have and say, hey, look, you know, I get that and I hear what you're saying, but look at it this way. If you don't have me, your costs are going to significantly increase. And you got to be careful about how you do this, because you don't want it to be a threat. And you don't want to come across as a jerk, but you do have to have the tough conversation. You should always have a backup plan. If you're in sales, you know, the backup plan means that you've talked to other sales managers, you've talked to other business owners, you've talked to other people that you can go to and say, hey, look, you know what? Things didn't work out in my last company. It's time for me to go. This means that you always have a resume ready to go. Now, I don't remember the last time that I used a resume. I've been offered quite a few different positions and jobs, but if I needed one, gosh darn it, I have it. It's ready to go. I update it every 6 months with content, information, links, whatever they need, so that if I ever had to go out and find a job, you know, and something went sideways, I mean, I could at least go out and put something online. But, you know, you always have your options open. You always have the ability to have the conversation. And then if I was out in the open marketplace today, I would have a list of 10 items that you wish you could have. Now, for me, my item list always starts with more vacation time than anybody else, right? That's always my go-to. Everybody's like, give me money. Okay, that's cool. But like for me, I would rather spend more time on the beach. So, you know, everybody's got their own thing. I can't tell you what your list needs to be, but you should have 10 things on your wish list of things that you could ask for, depending upon the company, depending upon the circumstances. If somebody comes to you and says, hey, we want to hire you. Okay, you're coming to me. You're having the conversation with me. You want to talk to me. You called me. Here's what I want. And they may go, well, we aren't going to give you all 10 of them. We're going to give you 3 of them. Or we're not going to give you the 5 that you wanted. We'll give you 2 of them. So you should always have a list. The thing is, too, is you should be willing to walk away. There's going to be a point where things just go sideways in an organization. You got to be willing to pack up your bags. And it is emotional. It is one of those things where it's like, you know, I've given this much time to a company, or I've done this, or I've done that. But, you know, in the sports world, players get traded even when they're good at what they do. The companies look around, they're like, we're going to make a decision that's going to best benefit us. You got to be willing to make a decision that's going to best benefit you. There's plenty of jobs out there, and it does not matter the industry. If you are a closer, you are the prize. If you look at any industry and you take 100 salespeople in that industry and know that 65% of them cannot perform and they will never perform, and you're in the top 5%, 3%, 4%, 1%, heck, even in the top 20%, you're wanted somewhere. Someone's going to pick you up and say, yeah, I'll take you, and we'll treat you even better than the last place. Your skills are needed. Now, I do want to let you know that there is one danger in all of this. And every time that you walk away from a position, it makes it easier for the next time that you walk away. And sometimes salespeople become prima donnas. Sometimes salespeople think they are greater than what they are. So I want to have this last conversation with you and say, hey, look, real deal, if you are a closer, you're the prize. But that doesn't give you the opportunity to be greater than what you are in your head. There's always a sales lesson to learn. There's always something to do. And if you always have the belief, fine, I'll just quit. I'll be running leads, you know, tomorrow, or I'll be running leads or taking ups tomorrow, or I'll be doing whatever way you want to say it, then it's easier with every time that it passes for you to walk away from a job or walk away from a deal. and then you create your own self-sabotage.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the How to Sell Show. You can join the party at howtosell.live to get the show notes, links, updates on new episodes, recordings of previous episodes, articles, as well as videos. You may not know this sales secret, but sharing this episode with a friend will bring you good luck. See you soon. Mahalo.